Would you join me in prayer? How we praise you, Lord. You do reign. The fountain of life, the fountain of peace and righteousness and joy. Speak peace to us this morning, Lord. Help us to listen. In Christ's name, amen. Do you have peace like a river? You may be thinking, Dave, if you knew what was going on in my life right now, you wouldn't be so mean as to even ask that question. Or you may wonder if I've listened to the news lately. But you see, I'm not talking about peace that depends on life going our way, but peace that depends on life going God's way. Peace as offered by the sovereign Lord of the universe. Jesus Christ himself tells us that he gives peace differently than the world gives. And I quote, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." The righteousness and peace and joy of God that we will study this morning are not dependent on our circumstances. Whether the economy, or gay, lesbian legislation, or judges moving, or any other social or relational upheaval in our lives. This peace, the peace of God, is dependent only on the one we call, the Bible describes as the rock. His character, his promises, the work that he has done. So I would like to ask you again, do you have peace like a river? Would you please turn with me to Romans 14:13? Romans 14:13. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18 of Romans 14, verse 13 reading. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now what we have seen for months now, Paul laying a groundwork, the theological, doctrinal undergirding that we need to face the challenges, not just of this life, but of life forever. If we could just stop and think about that for a minute, the things that God brings to us through his word as we accept and believe them, those aren't just preparing us for how do I handle tomorrow, how do I handle that boss at work, or how do I handle the economy or the news. This is things that are preparing us for forever. Because see, once we come to Christ, we are on the path of God. And we will have decisions to make along that path of God. Now, what Paul has showed us 2 weeks ago, we diverted last week with Father's Day, but talked about all these matters of conscience and the emotions that can be stirred with these matters of conscience, whether it's drums or a contemporary band. You know what I thought of? I thought of how many of you, okay, any guys here wear shorts? I know this is kind of a silly one. I grew up, men don't wear shorts. Now, there might be a Bible verse somewhere, but I read the Bible through about every year, and I haven't found that one yet. So I had to go ahead, and several years ago, I started wearing shorts. So, okay, for some of them, from kind of the silly ones like that, to some of them, that they really divide us. And instead of building into one another's lives, and instead of cultivating peace, we're building war. And it even talks about here about the possibility of destroying that fellow brother or sister in Christ. Now, I just want to, I don't know if it'll make sense to you, but on your one, there's a spiritual equation right here. Now, the reason I say I don't know if it makes sense to you, I think it makes sense to me, but I'm not quite sure, but I think I can make some heads or tails of it. But spiritual equation, because here's what we're looking at. We're coming to a point we've been shown all the freedom that we have. Can you do this and it's right before God? Yes, it is. But should we do it before that sensitive conscience, that weaker faith that it was talked about? And so what Paul's calling us to this week, he's saying to choose love over liberty. But if you didn't know better, you would think God was writing this stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be God writing this stuff, because it's like Jesus saying, how do you gain your life in Jesus' realm? Somebody tell me, shout it out. How do you gain your life? You lose it. Make any sense, does it? God wrote it down, though. You know when it makes sense? When you start living it. The spiritual equation. Love gives away freedom, but gains love and freedom squared. You know how you remember? Well, 100 years ago. It really wasn't 100 years ago. The funny thing is it's getting, it was 50 years or so ago, half a century or ago, when I was introduced to new math. And I was pretty good at math, so I enjoyed those things. But you'd have the 10, and then the first one I remembered, that little 2 up here, 10 squared, and then 10 to the third, and then it just, the numbers just... This is the abundance that Christ is talking about. See, we go along and God gives us these things. And he goes and he brings us and he describes our salvation. He shows us the sure footing we are on in Jesus Christ. And then he shows us these things that it's like, you know, to this person this is wrong, but it's not really wrong. Those are matters of conscience. And so it's like, well then, you know, I can do that, but you know what? If I do that, and I had mentioned, if I had brought my electric guitar up here. For one thing, I don't play the electric guitar very well, but even if I could play it really well, it wouldn't be the thing to do, because it would discourage someone. It would give them such a conflict of conscience as me in fitting in our group and this good group we have. So I wouldn't do something like that. What would I be choosing? I would be choosing my love for you over my liberty, my freedom to do that. I see some of us, we get the part as far as, okay, I got this, I'm free, I've got Christian liberty, I've got all this freedom in Christ. But you know what we don't get? We don't get love given away, or rather freedom given away means love and freedom squared, or to the third. We don't under that abundance that comes. We're hanging on to our liberty. Well, I've got a right to do this. Well, you do. Would you rather hang on to that, though, that path that you've chosen, or would you rather let God of the universe fill you with his abundance? You see, sometimes, folks, we get to a place where we kind of like it, and we just don't want to go any farther. And I know I've told you before, I very possibly have told you multiple times, but I just can't get it. Warren Wiersbe, and he said, of course, I'm remembering, so it's kind of like putting a copy through the copier. Maybe it's not quite how he said it, but I think he'd own up to it. He said, there are people, they haven't been Christians for 20 years. They've been a Christian 1 year 20 times. See, we found a place that we liked. I like it here. I'm pretty satisfied with my life. And we're not letting God move us along. Well, this is what this is talking about. A place where God, it might not look that appealing, but believe me, what God chooses for me, what God chooses for you is always, always better than what we choose for ourselves. And this week, we're talking about, we got this freedom, and what do? We give it up for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we don't go like, oh man, I had to give this up. It's like, wow, God, how'd you do that? I gave it up, but I didn't give up anything. In fact, it would get to the point where we would be embarrassed to talk about something we gave up because God just poured his abundance in our lives. Let God speak his peace to us in that way, because we're involved in these matters of conscience. And what we want to do sometimes too is we want to go beyond what's written. And you've got some stuff that in your study notes, a lot of pretty good stuff in your study notes actually. But talked about those who they want to go past what's written, and that's what stirs up the controversy. Because it's not written here. It doesn't say thou shalt not play the electric guitar. It doesn't say a lot of those things that we want to make that doctrine. And we stir up, and you see those machines on there, the peace machine and the war machine, on your that inside handout. And we're real good as Christians at looking at the world and that garbage in, garbage out thing. Well, you know, there's a principle with us too. If we're feeding discontent, if we're feeding envy and jealousy, if we're feeding the seeds of war into our life, and then we're puzzled and we're heartbroken because we're discouraged and we're not happy and we can't understand why there's such turmoil surrounding us. Well, this is why in this text it says in verse 19, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Okay, let's go back through and let's look at these things. Verse 13. Verse 13, choose helping over hindering. Choose helping over hindering. Stop passing judgment, whichever way that we're doing it, whether it's you're looking down at someone or you're being the judge and you're the person of weaker faith is judging the person of stronger faith, whatever. But make a decision. See, Paul is bringing us along. God is bringing us along. As I said, the only one who could have written something this just so perfect a plan, and as we see these things, as we see this progression through Romans, we see God writing this because he brings us to this place. Now, decide to never put a stumbling block. Decide to never put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Just decide not to do that. Now, secondly, verse 14, understand that perception matters. Nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. Let me give an example. Was talking to Dean Jefferson, and he gave the example. I would tease him a little bit, but I'll go ahead and tease him a little bit. He can handle it. I might not get ice cream the next time I come out there, but you know how much Dean likes drums, especially if we had him right up here. So he's looking at me. I better move along rather quickly. But he was telling me the story that he had heard from someone else of this person who, it was an African nation, I don't know which one, but it was an African man, and his father had been the tribal chief. And basically, like a lot of us have heard, and even like back in New Testament time, sometimes when the chief would come to Christ, practically the whole village, if not the whole village, would come to Christ. I see some heads nodding. And this young man did. And well, they had sent this young man to the United States to go to college. I don't know actually if it was a Bible college or not. I'll have to get with you later. I don't know if you knew that or not either. But he's there. But he had gone to some of our churches. And lo and behold, he discovered in our churches, he said that there were drums. We had some churches had drums up on the stage in contemporary music. And he just thought that was a really bad thing. And he said, well, you know, in our country, you know, they were the animism and the paganism and all that, and they were saved from that, and drums had been a part of their quote unquote worship. So when they came to Christ and they formed a church, the drums went out of here because they were wrong to him. To him. This is where we understand. They were wrong to him. So for him to pick a church where they were playing the drums, or for him to do that because, say, he had a really good friend and they wanted him to be a part, it would violate his conscience. See, it's just a very good example of, like I say, we can say, give yourself the freedom to say, I don't like that. Even give yourself the freedom to say, I don't see how you can like that or how you can worship like that. But don't give yourself the freedom to violate the word of God and says that God says what you're saying because you want God to say it so much. So can you say drums, it for me, the worship with drums is wrong for me? We can say that. I point to you and I say, man, you can't either. That's what's wrong. Now we've changed something from matter of conscience and we've said God said that. There are so many things like that. Well, how do we know? Well, this particular thing that you're saying that God says, then just find it in the Bible. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Just, if it's there in the Bible, then God said it. Now, not like we do a lot of times. And we got the vague this, and then we bring this person in, that person, this person says this, and this. No, it's got to be real clear. We can't go beyond. That's what Paul said, that these men, and again, you have this reference in your study sheets if you want to follow up. They go beyond what's written, and they get pitting this person against this person, and it's all this out here, outside of what's clearly stated in Scripture. We choose to understand that perception matters. We choose love over liberty. Lost my place, sorry. Don't, verse 16 says, don't let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Don't take something that is a conviction of yours. And it's well and good that it's a conviction of yours, but sometimes we try to push it off on someone else, or we have kind of an in-your-face attitude with that, and now we've tainted that. That's what this text is talking about. Understand the opportunity of the kingdom of kingdom living now. Verse 17, and this verse and verse 19, just powerful, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. But what is the kingdom of God a matter of? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now we could ask then, if you picture those machines on your insert, the peace machine and the war machine. Do you have peace like a river? Do you have righteousness like an ocean? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit pouring out of you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and maybe one or two others that I don't know right off the top? Or are we saying, well, I would have peace if only this were straightened out. I would have peace if this were happening. I would have peace if this relationship would go this way. Well, see, that's the world's peace. That's dependent on circumstances. That's dependent on people. That's not what God offers. Whose peace is better, yours or his? I think some of us don't know that. I mean, we know these words in Scripture, but I think some of us don't know that. Because we keep trying to make for the things which make for peace of this world, give us this world's peace. And I'm not setting something out there. We've all been there, haven't we? Somebody is there and they're speaking, and boy, their life is just perfect, and they make us feel about this big because what they've set out there. That's not what this is. This is, boy, God would just open up the spigot and just flow this toward anyone. What did he say in that verse? Oh, if you had only paid attention to me, I would have made your peace like a river and your righteousness like an ocean. If you had only paid attention, if we would only listen to God. So who are we listening to? If our life is filled with turmoil, if our life is filled with dissension and discontent, who are we listening to? What peace are we seeking? Moving through here, Well, I just got to step again on verse 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace. What are we pursuing? How do you know what you're pursuing? Well, what's coming out the other end of the machine is content, peace, righteousness, joy. Is that what's in our life? Then we know that we're pursuing peace. Is there discontent? Is there bitterness? Is there fear, resentment, anger? Then what are we pursuing? We're not pursuing what God says. And we can do it in the name of God. It's been done since the beginning of time. You can do that. Or we can listen to God. Oh, if they had only paid attention. Verses 18 through 21, or 19 through 21. So then let us pursue, what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. See, we have a choice to build or to destroy. It says it right here. Those are the words. Kind of harsh terms, aren't they? But we build or we destroy. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Pursue what makes for peace and building. Don't destroy. Do the good thing. Do the good thing. And lastly, keep some matters of faith between ourselves and God. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Now what that saying is, and I gave you a pretty good example of that on the handout, it talks about, compares the weaker brother or sister to the contentious brother or sister. And with the weaker brother or sister, you have the young lady, and she listens to contemporary Christian music, and her friend John, he listens to it because his friend Jane listens to it. But he thinks it's wrong. And so it violates his conscience. He's not doing it of faith. He doesn't believe it's right. Is Jane listening to Christian contemporary music wrong? No. Is it wrong for John to listen to it? Yes, because he doesn't believe it's a good thing. So this is what this is saying here, if it's not of faith. Now, if Jane follows Paul's teaching here, she's not going to write off contemporary Christian music. But you know what she's not going to listen to when she's with her friend John? She's not going to listen to contemporary Christian music. And you know what Jane might likely also do? Saying, John, our friendship's good. You're valuable to me. Ditch the Christian contemporary music because it's taking you down the wrong path. We're still friends. I won't listen to it while you're here. Now, what John can't do, here's where John would go from being the weaker brother to the contentious brother. We're trying to tell Jane, well, I think it's wrong, so you need to stop listening too. Now we've crossed a line. Now we've got a different discussion. So what is of faith? And there's some things, folks, that freedoms that we have that, and God speaks to us, and this comes from just cultivating that personal, intimate relationship. And we might just say it in our terms where God would say, let's just keep that between you and me. It's good with God, but don't go out there and do that because it's going to harm a brother because they're not going to understand. There's something about the full assurance of acceptance with God. And this is where, I mean, this is why the psalmist in Psalm 46, he said, oh, the mountains fall into the sea. I'm good with God. Though the mountains fall into the sea, I know that God is my rock. So let me ask as we finish this up today, are we paying attention when God speaks? Are we paying attention when God speaks? God speaks peace to us. God speaks peace to us that's not the world's peace. God speaks peace to us in his terms, like a river. God speaks righteousness in his terms, like an ocean. God speaks joy to us and patience. And if you see this connect, here's at least three connections I want us to see. The connection between the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and these things that God offers. And what I want you to also see, and it's what, in fact, the Our God Reigns, it just, that came, and I thought, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I felt like God spoke to my heart this morning. That was a late addition. Our God reigns. Our God offers peace and righteousness and joy. Sovereign ruler. So that when he offers peace and righteousness and joy, it isn't contingent on anything. On anything. It's contingent on nothing in this world. Because our God reigns.